right, give those young people a big round of applause. You do that? That's good. Very proud of them. That's good. That is super. And thank the Lord for young people who want to use their talents for the Lord. Amen? That's good. Take your Bible and go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 12. Again, this is Paul speaking, and he's testifying about how he has stood and how God has been good to him, but yet he's also testifying about the lean times that's been in his life. And he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, when we talk about this tonight, when it deals with making it through the tough times in your marriage, we're also going to be touching base on some things when it comes to relationships, because these principles tonight can be something that will govern you no matter what age you are, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. These are principles that can help you in having the right type of relationships with others. I'm going to give you some statements tonight that can be a big help to you. May I say this, that your relationships will go through different tough times. They will. I don't care tonight if it is a child relationship with a parent. I don't care tonight if it's a teenage relationship with a parent. I don't care tonight if it is a teen relationship or a child relationship, teen with teen, child with child. I don't care tonight if it's a grandpa with a child or a grandma with a child. I don't care what it is tonight. I don't care tonight if it's a husband and wife relationship. There's going to be some times when your relationship is tested. There's going to be some times. There's going to be some times when your relationship is tested with a friend, with maybe a church member, with maybe somebody that you work with maybe somebody in your neighborhood, with maybe somebody that you come across the path and you follow them for a little while. It's going to be tested. All right, so let me give you some thoughts tonight that will help you to understand how do you make it through the tough times in your marriage. Good to see the Jomhongs tonight. God bless you, and that's good to see you. Let's notice this tonight. Statement number one, okay, life has its ups and downs. Life has its ups and downs. Now, can I tell you, life in general, you'll look at it, and if you're not careful, You'll think that life is mistreating you. But can I tell you, everybody that is alive tonight is dealing with life. The Bible talks about how even dealing with temptations, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So I don't care what you're facing tonight, can I tell you that there's people in this room that either has faced it, is faced it, or is going to face it. Whether it's health, whether it is emotions, whether it is academics, whether it is physical, whether it is spiritual, don't think too highly of yourself tonight to think that you're the only one that's having a hard time. Don't put yourself on such a high pedestal tonight to think that you're going through something and it's kind of rough, and because it's kind of rough that you're just special because you've got this special problem. Can I tell you tonight, no matter what you're facing in life, somebody's already been there, somebody's already tasted it, and they either passed the test or they got to take it again. All right? And so let's notice just a couple of things tonight. Again, let me read this. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is testifying about his own life in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 12. He says, I know. And by the way, when he says, I know, it is something that he himself has embraced. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. How is it that you know that he is good? How is it that you see that he is good? The Bible says, oh, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, I just want you to know that I know. He's saying, I've tasted some things in life that's not been too pleasant. I've tasted some things in life that has not just been something great. I've gone through some things in life that has given me some personal challenges and struggles in life. He says, I just want you to know that I know. He says, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. And it says everywhere in all things. So no matter what comes my way, Paul is saying this, I just want to testify, no matter what comes my way, I'm telling you, I made it through. Now, can I help you out just a little bit? No matter what comes your way, I don't care if it's a physical calamity, I don't care if it's a financial setback, I don't care if it's a relationship struggle, I don't care if it is an educational type of getting off the track or off the railway for a little while, I'm telling you, no matter what you face in your life, whether it's with a relationship and that which is a marriage relationship, a relationship and that which is a friendship relationship, a relationship and that which is a business employee relationship, no matter what you're facing in your life, here's what Paul says. He says, this I can tell you for sure, I've learned how to make it. Now, you need to learn how to make it. You need to learn how to make it in your marriage. You need to learn how to make it in your relationship and the functionability of that. You need to learn how to make it as a church member. You need to learn how to make it in every aspect of life. You can't run away from your problems all the days of your life and be able to sense victory in those problems. You can't do it. You've got to be able to face problems sometime in your life and walk away a champion. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Paul speaking, testifying, I know both. It says how to be abased and how to abound. He says, in everywhere, in all things, he says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So in the marriage relationships, it may not all go well all the time. In your other relationships, it may not all go well all the time. We have to understand that people don't see things necessarily the way you see things, not even your spouse, not even your parents, not even your friends. You can be a witness at a car accident, and depending on where you're standing, slightly, maybe a little bit to the right or maybe slightly to the left, you will get a total different view. You'll give a total different testimony as to what you saw and what you witnessed. And all you have to do is stand about 12 inches to the right or 12 inches to the left, and you'll give a different perspective. Now, may I tell you tonight that not everybody's going to see life the way that you see it through your glasses. Not everybody's going to see life the way that you see it in your relationships. And you will have times in your life when you will suffer through ups and downs. Now, can I tell you, that's not a time to jump ship. That's not a time to give up on God. That's not a time to stop praying. That's not a time to stop believing in your marriage. That is not a time to stop believing that God can raise godly children underneath your tutorship. That is not a time to say, well, I tell you what, it's just not going my way. And so therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just get off of it and go somewhere. No, no, you can't run from your problems because your problems, don't get mad at me, are you. You can't outrun you. Well, I'm the one that's got this problem, and I just think that if I can get away, how are you going to get away from you? Did it ever occur to you that everywhere you go, you go? Did it ever occur to you that you follow you everywhere you go? Hello? It was a great preacher one time, and he said, man, somebody came up to him and said, I want to ask you a question. Who's the biggest enemy you have in your life? He said, I look at him every morning when I shave. Now, isn't that the truth? Now, I'm saying tonight, listen, you understand that people don't see things. What you consider a down, stay with me, somebody else is considering an up in their life. What you consider an up, somebody else considers a down in their life. And that's why your Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves, finish it, are not, talk to me, are not, it's not wise. Well, I wish that I had the marriage that so-and-so has. You're only seeing what's on the surface. Well, I wish that I had the kids. They're perfect. God did not create such a creature. But I wish I had the kids that so-and-so has. I mean, after all, look at them. We have. Now, I'm saying there was a guy years ago, and he's a businessman. He was tired. He just got off the road. He went into a hotel. He's getting ready to check in. Noticed there was a dining hall next door, and so he decided to go over to the dining room, and so he checked in his luggage. When he checked in the luggage, they gave him the tag for the luggage, and so somehow or another, as he got up to go to clean up the in the restroom and came back and ate the meal and enjoyed the meal, and then he got up, went over and visited a friend's table and came back to his table. Somehow or another, he misplaced the claim check for his luggage. And so he went back to that which was the registrar's desk, and he said, you know, I can't find my claim check for the luggage, and I just don't know how to get my luggage back. And the man said, well, what is your name? And he said, my name is Henry Davis, but I still don't know where I'm at. I just don't know what room I'm in. I don't know. He said, well, I can tell you real quick where you are. You're in the lobby. Now, that's not what that guy meant. That guy was distraught, and he was trying to figure out where his room was, where he could go to, because after all, they were going to take the luggage to the room. But the problem was, one person was seeing it one way, and another person was seeing it the other way, and that's where you have marital distress. I'm saying this. I'm saying that life has its ups and downs. I'm sorry you have to live in it, but you do. Statement number two, don't dwell, think about this, don't dwell on your secular thinking in regards to your marriage. The Bible says that when you came together, two became one flesh. All right, now wait a minute, what does that mean, preacher? That means that the Bible says, do you realize that your marriage is supposed to be spiritual? Do you realize that your child-rearing endeavors are supposed to be spiritual? You are not supposed to raise a child on the same type of secular humanism, secular reasoning. You're not supposed to raise a child the same way that the world says you're supposed to raise a child. God says, I have created your marriage to be spiritual. All right? And so when God wants your marriage to be spiritual, then He's going to give you some spiritual antidotes for the problems that you face in your life. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, and we know that the law is spiritual. Now, the law, the Bible, that's what it's talking about. So we know the Bible is spiritual. Well, does that surprise you? So we see that the law is spiritual, but he says this. This is Paul testifying again. He says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, let me tell you about me. I have a spiritual book, but I'm not a spiritual person. Now, when you take a spiritual book and you tell an unspiritual, fleshly, worldly, contaminated type of person the truth, sometimes it will not set well with them. Sometimes you'll tell them the truth and they'll begin to squirm, and it's not because they're anxious to get out. They're just anxious to get out from underneath the truth. You understand tonight that the Bible is spiritual. Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, but look, he said, I'm fleshly. Yeah, I got this problem with the flesh, and sometimes I have that carnality that creeps up in my thoughts. Well, doesn't even the Bible teach us that our thoughts are not like His thoughts and our ways are not like His ways? Does not the Bible teach us that we are supposed to be on the same thinking grounds with God, but yet most of the time we're not? We read that verse where it says turn the other cheek. We try to do that physically when somebody turns our cheek. When God says vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to act spiritual. What am I supposed to do with the Bible, saying, now wait a minute, this is spiritual. Understand, okay, the world says this. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the secular thinking. Here's what the world says. If you do not get along as a married couple, divorce. Here's what the world says. The world says, if you do not like the person, love the person, enjoy being with the person that you're married to, divorce. Now that's what the world says. The world says, let your children have whatever they want. That's what the world says. But when you come down to what the Bible says, the Bible is given to us to guide us and to help us to regulate our fleshly desires. So the Bible is given to us to be able to help us to govern ourselves. Now, we don't like to be governed by anybody. But God said the Bible is given to us to govern ourselves. Oh, come on. Preacher gets up and all of a sudden, boy, he starts preaching and he's hitting things and he's just preaching that away. And all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you'll get mad at him. You'll walk out of here and you'll say, he had no right to say that. He was thinking about me. Well, he probably didn't even know you were here tonight. But the Holy Spirit has a way of taking a generality that is preached and lay it straight, dead, flat, centerly in your lap. Because he knows what you need. I can't believe he said that. I'm mad at him. Well, why don't you get mad at him that sent it your way? But since that is probably not a good idea, why don't you just get right over whatever was sent your way so that you can become what you're supposed to become? See, here's what the Bible is teaching. Paul is speaking. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said, I've got this problem with this secular thinking. I've got this problem with this humanistic thinking. And you know, I just think that, man, I differ from God. Well, does that surprise you? You know, a person that is living with secular thinking, many, many times they will allow their thoughts, their philosophy, their reasoning to be able to govern what they're going to do with fulfilling the purposes in their individual lives. Now, can I tell you that that is foreign from Bible truth? Bible truth simply states that your thoughts ought to come into that which is the control of the Holy Spirit. I am not supposed to be able to govern my thoughts. I'm supposed to allow God to have complete control so that he can govern my thoughts. And by the way, God is the one that would give the better result. God is the one that would help you. He will help you not to walk out, but to walk in and take care of the problem. Statement number one, let me hurry. Don't be somebody that gets hung up by the ups and downs. Life, statement number one, has its ups and downs. Statement number two, don't dwell on your secular thinking in regards to your marriage. Try praising your wife, even if it frightens her the first time. You know, just try to praise her just a little bit. Don't walk around, if you will, please, with that which is, hey, give me that napkin box underneath you, Jeremiah, and just kind of toss it up here. I'll pretend I can catch. There you go. If you're not careful, here's what you do. You walk around with a chip on your shoulder because you're tired, you're weary. You know, it's like, come on, I dare you to say something. I dare you. Don't you dare say something. I'll walk around with a chip on the shoulder. Come here, John, Brother John. Come here. Walk around a chip on the shoulder, and you're waiting for somebody to walk in front of you so that they can just knock it off. And when they knock it off, no wonder you're tripping over things, because the chip on your shoulder now becomes your own personal stumbling block. And your chip on your shoulder now becomes a stumbling block of everybody else around you because of the offenses that you took up because of the chip on your shoulder that should not have been there to begin with, because great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Of course, you do have to love the law. Okay, thank you. Be seated and watch this if you will. Statement number one, I said this. I said that life has its ups and downs. Statement number two, don't dwell on your secular thinking in regards to your marriage or any other type of relationship. Statement number three, and I'm hurrying now, realize that tough times are only a phase. Now, you're going to go through those phases as you travel down your road of marriage, but also realize this, as you travel down that road of relationships, you're going to go through those phases, but can I tell you what that would do is that will prepare you for the greater days ahead. You're going to go through the phases. Come on. There will be times in your life, you're ready, when you get sick and you think, I'm going to die. Then all of a sudden, you'll bounce back. You'll bounce back. And then you'll say, man, I tell you what, I feel great. I feel like I'll live forever. Because you bounce back. Now, you're going to go through those phases. Stay with me now. You're going to go through those phases in your emotions. You would go through those phases in your spiritual life. Come on, not if you be honest tonight and I had you to raise your hand, I don't want you to raise your hand because honestly, I don't want you to be honest. But if I would have you to raise your hand tonight and you would confess your honesty tonight, and I would say, how many of you feel like coming to church every single time the door is open? I don't think anybody would raise their hand except for those that wanted to lie. Because we're not spiritual creatures. And if you do things based on your feelings, you will fall. All right, so watch this. Here's what we do understand. You know, realize that the tough times are going to come, but those tough times are only a phase. They're only a phase that you're going to go through in your marriage. You know, now you must travel through those phases in your marriage and your relationships. You have to travel through them to get to the next phase. To get to the greater days, you have to travel through them. Statement number next, okay? Learn to accept the tough times. Learn to accept tough times as well as enjoy the good times. Learn to accept the tough time. Everybody enjoys driving through the meadow. Very few people enjoy being stuck in traffic. Everybody enjoys a beautiful, springy, nice, warm, with a cool breeze blowing spring day. Very few people enjoy a desert, hot, high humidity Texas afternoon. Now, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you. Learn to accept the tough times as well as to enjoy the good times. You know, learn to accept some of the things that comes your way. Okay, here's what it says in Job. Job 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. All right, so wait a minute. You know that you could say with your mouth things that doesn't make you look all that smart? You know you can say things with your mouth that doesn't make you look all that wise. Have you ever done such? Do not raise your hand. You can say things that would make you look outlandishly foolish. And people walk away and inside of their heart, because they know better, they're ha, 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 and at you. But now, may I say this, that you don't want to live a life that's foolish. Listen to this, the Bible says, in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, both of them knew the truth. One said foolishness with the lips, the other one did not sin with his lips. So which one would you be? All of a sudden, when life gives you a bad, bad spoonful, are you going to say, well, I tell you what, I just don't think I can make it? Or are you going to be a testament to the grace of God? Are you going to be a testament to that which is the mercy of God? To be able to say, I tell you what, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Years ago, I was a youth director in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and a teenage girl came to me, and she said, she's one of our public school young people, and she said, Brother Wells, I've been cheated. I'm supposed to be the valedictorian. I've been cheated. I'm only going to be the salutatorian. I have been cheated, and I know for sure, because I've got the goods on the person, they cheated me. And she said, I tell you what, I'm just disturbed. I deserve it, and she's getting it, and it's not right. I said, sit down. You and I have to have a talk. Because first off, there's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your power. She has already gone to the authorities that be, and they didn't believe her. She'd already done her due diligence in trying to prove they didn't believe her. And I said, now I'm going to tell you what, if you don't get a handle on this thing, it's going to eat your lunch. You're going to have the root of bitterness in your heart. And before you know it, you're not going to be worth spit to God. Now, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to give this to God. Stay with me now. This will help you. You're going to have to give this to God, leave it, walk away, never touch it again. Because if you don't, it's going to eat you up the rest of the, every time you see that person, you're going to get, well, that's not right. Every time you see that person, I can't stand them. Every time you get around that person, they stole from me. So you better learn to give that to God. Because if you don't, it's going to eat your lunch all the days of your life. Now, I watched a teenage girl get on her knees and pray and simply give it to God. And by the way, I watched her joy come back. I watched her joy come back. You know, come on. The Lord's passing through the garden, and he looks over, and he says to Cain, why is thy, who knows what it says, why is thy countenance fallen? See, what's in here will eventually show up here. You show me a teenager tonight that's having rebellious problems, what's in here, it's going to eventually show up here. You show me a person tonight that's got a criticalness here, eventually, it's going to come out here. Because what's in the heart will come out. You know, and I watched that little girl, and she got right with the Lord, and she gave it to the Lord, and I watched something. I watched something absolutely amazing as all of a sudden, now she's walking down the hallway, and she was back. Her countenance was back. You know why it was back? Because her heart was right. I get two people in the room and I'm counseling them, and one of them has a sour puss look on their face, and you know, they look like they're ready to rip the head off of somebody else. I can tell you for sure their heart's not right. You see two teenagers walking down the hallway, and one's got this anger look on their face, and they won't shake the other teenager's hand, and they've got that snootiness going on like they hung the moon. They ain't hang nothing. They're about to hang themselves. But there's a problem right here. You get two adults that think that they know it all, and they're getting around the corner and they're talking about another adult, and these two adults that think that they know it all are putting themselves on a higher spiritual plateau than somebody else. Can I tell you, the more dirt you throw, the less you have to stand on. You understand this tonight, and you understand it well. There are ways to be able to go through the ups and downs of life and be able to make it. Life is full of ups and downs. Statement number two, don't dwell on your secular thinking in regards to your marriage or any other relationship. Statement number three, realize that the tough times are only a phase in which you're going to go through in your marriage or your relationship. You've got to travel down that road in order to have the greater days. Can I testify tonight? I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen a lot of junk, but I've never allowed my family to keep the seed of bitterness. Through counsel, through prayer, through direction, through reasoning and understanding, my kids are in church. My wife's in church. They're doing their best to serve Jesus Christ. Now, may I tell you, you're going to go through the ups and downs of life. You have to go through phases in order to get to a point where you can actually accomplish more for God. Statement number four, I'm saying this: learn to accept the tough times as well as enjoy the good times. And the last statement is this, okay, for the sake of your marriage, I'm saying this applies to everybody, so for the sake of your marriage, for the sake of your children, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of your God, stick it out in your marriage, even if it's tough to do so. Because what that is going to do is that's going to be a testament to your children. You say, well, we're not getting along all the time. You do not even get along with you all the time. I'm saying tonight, stick it out. Well, I tell you, my wife and I, we're not agreeing right now. Then find yourself something to talk about that you can agree on, and let that be your subject matter for a little while. Give yourself a rest. Find things that are pleasant to talk about. Don't make every conversation that which you know is going to end up in an argument, because you may win the argument, but I promise you, you're going to lose the war. Well, I proved my point. That's great. That's why he's not talking to you, has not talked to you for the past 5 days. You get the crown. I'm saying tonight, here's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says that for it is better if the will of God, it says, be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Well, I know I'm right. Good. But you don't have to say everything that you're right about knowing that your wife sees a different right. Well, I've got a point to prove. Why do you want to prove your point at the expense of a relationship that you've just now dumped? Well, it's because I'm a man. And if you are, you certainly need not to prove it. Well, I'm the head of my home. Well, she probably figured that out simply because you are the man. See, the Bible teaches in verse 16, the Bible says, and if a man suffer, says as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glory God, listen to it now, on this behalf. Well, my wife, she just shames me. Here's what God says you're supposed to do when you're shamed. Glory God. Glorify God. Give God the glory. Count yourself blessed because you're persecuted for your righteousness' sake. Wait, one last verse, since you're enjoying it so much. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit, says the keeping of, watch it, their souls, it says to him, it says, in well-doing. And it talks about onto faithful, but faithful, not unfaithful, but faithful creator. See, he is faithful no matter what you're going through. And so no matter what what's happening in your life, what's being sowed in your life, what is being sowed by others in your life, what you're sowing in your life, hey, one thing remains true, he's not changing his status. And that's why the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. Well, everything's just falling apart. Taste of the Lord and see that he is good. We lived on the road for a long time, and I still like McDonald's. Now, I'll be honest with you, I think I'm the only one in the family Is that right, Mrs. Wells? Okay. Is that, you don't like it either, do you? Okay. Will you go with me? We bet. Do you like McDonald's? So. Where's the other one? You? You don't know? Where's Rebecca? You here? You like McDonald's? No. Okay. I am the last remaining faithful soldier. I like McDonald's. They have this premium wrap that is ranch and grilled chicken that tastes like it's been sent from heaven. I like McDonald's. I like Subway. If you've not tried it, you ought to try it for those of you who are trying to lose a little bit of weight. By the way, that's not me. But I like, they have that chopped salad. Yeah. I like to watch them make it. Because I like giving instructions. So they said, what do you want in it? I said, everything and lots of it. So they'll put it in there. They'll begin to chop it up. I said, chop it up a little bit more, will you? They'll chop it up. I said, put that ranch in there. You know, get it choppy with that ranch in there. Yes, sir. Boy, they never say no. They'll just chop it up real good. You know, and boy, I'll eat that stuff. Woo! We used to feed that to the cows, but I like it too. Now, may I say, I take pleasure in the good things. But when it goes through the tough times of the ups and downs, can I tell you this? God is still faithful. God is still true. And God will help you see it through. But you've got to be close to Him. You have to. You just have to. And when you are close to Him, it just seems like that it's, can I just be honest with you? It seems like it's more mild than when you're not close to Him. There's just something about being underneath the wing of the Almighty that there is no shadow of turning and everything turns out all right. You know why? Because He is God.